Continuing with tape three, side two. We were talking about the way the ZOA handles its relationships with Israel.
I think I was saying that they react very much to supporting the government of Israel, where they would maybe take issue publicly on some occasion, is if when they would be reacting to articles that might appear in the papers. For instance, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has had some very difficult articles relative to the State of Israel, and they've published articles by others who are critical of Israel. And so these articles are answered by the leadership, and so that in that way there is public discourse. And there'll be articles in the New York Times. I tell one story about I wrote 12 articles for the New York Times during my presidency, and all 12 articles were published. Well, I could never understand that. It was very difficult to believe that the New York Times would never turn down an article, 12 articles that I had written. So after I read in the editorial page that the gentleman who was in charge of letters for the editor was retiring. It was 1983, I think it was, and I called him and asked him to go to lunch. And I remember went to lunch at Paragord Park at Park Avenue and 63rd Street. And Paul Flax was with me, the executive vice president of the ZOA, who unfortunately passed away a few weeks ago. Wonderful man, tremendous talent. Anyway, I said to this gentleman, I said, "Why? I have to ask you a question. Why did you publish all the articles that I wrote?" And he said, "Well," he said, "I thought they were well written. I thought they were very timely. The subject matter was excellent." He said, "I said, well, thank you very much." He said, "Well, I guess I should add that in 1958, my father was the president of the Manhattan Zionist District." So we had a friend at the New York Times that we didn't know about. That I was fortunate, and you know, those were very exciting years. There's some wonderful things that happened because we used to get invited. It was pretty much common knowledge that I was Mr. Begin's close friend, and I didn't speak for him in this country, but people knew that we were very close. And because of it, I there were very few places that I wasn't invited to, and some of the wonderful functions with the dinners at the White House. So I just tell one story, which I think is pretty nice. I was seated at a table with Mr. Begin and President Carter, and then was Mrs. Begin next to me, then myself, and Casey Ribicoff, Senator Ribicoff's wife, and Frank Lautenberg, and I can't remember, it was a woman, was sitting there, and Mr. Begin says to the president, he says, "Mr. President," he said, "this is a wonderful meal," he says, "I can't tell you how much I'm enjoying it." And the president said, "Well, Mr. Prime Minister," he said, "I want you to know," he said, "this is a kosher meal." He said, "I want you to know that the silverware has been changed, the tablecloths have been changed, everything has been changed, so it's a strictly kosher meal," the president said. And Mr. Begin, as you know, had this way with his face. He would go up and down and go, and he'd say, "Well, Mr. President," he said, "are you enjoying the meal?" And the president said, "Mr. Prime Minister," he said, "I think this is one of the best meals that we ever had at the White House." And Mr. Begin was moving his head up and down. "Oh, Mr. President, if that's the case, why don't you serve kosher every night?" So anyway, there's so many stories that took place, and so many wonderful happenings that you remember, and that's one of my favorite stories. So you know, there were. I remember once I received a call from Saul Linowitz, who at that time was the chief, was the ambassador in charge of the negotiations with the Palestinians and the Israelis. And he called me one day and he said, "Ivan," he said, "I want to," he says, "I've got this problem solved," and he was correct. He said, "About 85% solved," he said, "but I can't get over the last 15%. He says, "And I have a message that I would like to send to the Prime Minister, and I know if you carry it for me, it'll get there and nobody will know about it." So I got on a plane on a Saturday night with the message, which I hadn't seen. The message was in there, in a courier pack, and I carried the message over, and I went over to Israel on a Saturday night. I got there Sunday, and I was very tired, and I was going over to Mr. Begin's house for dinner, and I needed to get a little sleep, so I went to sleep for a couple hours, and he had to call me on the phone, and I accidentally hit the corner of my eye on the table, and it started to bleed, and I couldn't stop the bleeding, so finally Mrs. Begin stopped the bleeding when I got to the house. And then I came back Tuesday, and I met with Mr. Shamir, who was a former foreign minister, and then I came back Tuesday night. And from the trip, I was back Wednesday, and I used to always pride myself on the ability to fly over and back and without too much jet lag. But that was a bad one. It took me a long time to get over that trip. So my next trip will be my 48th.
Really?
Yeah, trip to Israel.
Oh,
yeah. So, any event, those were, you know, as I say, awfully.
Are you going on an official trip or just for fun?
Nope, I know. Well, I was to go to the Zionist Congress, as you may recall, on, this was just a place. I was a delegate in the Zionist Congress, but I had to cancel my trip over at the last minute because of business reasons. I had to cancel almost 2 days before I left. That was a few weeks ago. So I did not go. So I hope to be going. Well, actually, the June meetings have been postponed to November because the Council of Jewish Federations here in America are going to meet in Israel, as you recall, during their usual November meetings. They're going to combine that with the Jewish Agency meetings, which take place in June. So I hope to be there for that.
You will go then in what capacity?
I would go in the capacity as a delegate to the a United Israel Appeal delegate to the Jewish Agency, that in that capacity, and perhaps perhaps my community will also send me as a delegate, you know, for the community, since I've gone to many. I went to the Council of Jewish Federation meetings for 25 consecutive years before I missed one.
So, that's amazing, yes.
Yeah. In fact, the first one I went to was in, you know, I won the Young Leadership Award in 1964, a Young Leadership Award in the city of Pittsburgh. And I think the year before was Los Angeles, the year before like that was Montreal. I got St. Louis. So that's really when I started, 1964. That was my first Council of Jewish Federation meeting.
You continued with the, since 1983, with the involvement with some of these other, I'm going to hand it to you and take a look, some of these other organizations, so we can pick up from 1983 to the present.
Well, I am still, I've been on the board of Israel Bonds, that's continuing. My board period has ended. I was on the board of the Jewish Federation for many, many years, and rotation took me off of there, but I'm involved in programs there. I've just been elected the president of the American Zionist Movement for the Pittsburgh region. The American Zionist Movement is the umbrella group for all the Zionist organizations in the city. So we'll be meeting tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock for breakfast, tomorrow morning being the 15th of January, where all the members of the Zionist organizations and the community in general will meet to begin planning a 50th anniversary affair for Israel. There is a major affair. It's going to take place in April. That's being sponsored by the Federation at the Symphony Hall. But many of us felt we didn't have something for the community in general, so the purpose of that meeting tomorrow is to see if we can plan something for the total community. So I've stayed very involved in that, and I'm still involved in the Community Relations Council. I attend its meetings. It's Jewish National Fund, of course. I'm a past honorary chairman, national chairman of the Jewish National Fund, so I stay very involved with the Jewish National Fund. I'm still on the national boards of the Jewish National Fund. I stay active with the ZOA here in Pittsburgh. Some of the other organizations, I do not stay as active as I did once before. I'm still very active with the Distribution Committee. I'm still active with the National Conference of Soviet Jewry. Still active with Tel Aviv University. So I still do many special projects for some of these organizations as a past president of many of them.
Your bio does list two of the awards, but I can see that there have been many more. Mm-hmm. Would you tell us about them?
Well, just look at them for a second. The first award that I recall ever receiving was an award from Phi Epsilon Pi, my college fraternity, when they gave me an award as a man of the year. Subsequent to that, I got the Versatility Cup in college, which I was the frauder of the year for the fraternity at that time. In my senior year, and subsequently the fraternity gave me the National Alumni Award. The organization has now been merged with the ZBT. 501 Pi has now merged with ZBT, so now I'm a fraternity brother with my son, because he was a ZBT at Zeta Beta Tau at Syracuse University. The first community award that I remember receiving was the Young Leadership Award in 1964 at the United Jewish Federation. That was a unique story. I almost wasn't there.
Year?
1964. I had gone to all the functions for many years, and Natalie said to me, gee, why don't we stay home once? We don't miss them many things. Let's stay home tonight. So I said, okay. So I guess it was about 5:30, 6 o'clock that evening, and I got a call from Harold Bigler. He said, you're going to the dinner. I said, no, I really didn't plan on going. He said, why don't you go? I said, Betty and I are going. So you and Natalie go. So really, she hadn't started dinner yet. And I said, okay. So we decided to go at the last minute. We get there, and the place was, we were late. It was after the cocktail hour already, and we found seats in the back of the room. And Phil Baskin was the chairman of the dinner. And in the back, they were coming to give the award. And I didn't think I was the recipient because nobody had called me. So they start reading the resume, the attributes of the awardee. And when they got to 1959, and I think it was a presidency, I'd been the president of the junior congregation of Rosh Hashanah. I turned to Natalie and I said, you know, boy, that sounds a lot like me. And I finally turned to her and I said, it is me. And I was in a state of absolute shock. And I received the award and I was very angry. Because under the suggestion of the assistant director, who happened to be Jim Browning, they said, they wanted to make it a surprise. It had never been a surprise. They usually told the awardee in advance so the family could be there, you know, so forth. So this was an experiment, and that was the experiment, that there would be no free knowledge of the award. I was very happy to receive the award, but I was very angry. My in-laws were not there. Many of my friends were not there. And I felt it was never done again. But anyway, that was the first one. And then subsequently I received the Israel Service Award at the Zionist Organization of America, which is an award been given for 50 years here in the city. And I've also received the award from the Jewish National Fund, Citation of Honor. I received an award from Israel Bonds, the Lion of Judah Award. And one of the special ones that I received, two of them actually. One is the Jabotinsky Centennial Medal, which I received from Mr. Begin, which was given in New York to all of the story. There were 50 men and women chosen by the state to receive the award. And I remember Jack Kemp was in front of me and Senator Jackson was behind me in the line when you went up to, and I thought I was in a very special company, when you went up to get the award from Mr. Begin, and Epi Evron was the ambassador of the United States of Israel to the United States, and he would stand and introduce you to the Prime Minister, and he would put the medallion around your neck. And I think what was unique about that, Edgar Bronfman said that I was the only one that he hugged and kissed. So that was special. And then when I went out of office in 1983, many of my friends established the Ivan J. Novick Institute for Israel-Diaspora Relations at the Zioe House in Israel. And we've had some wonderful programs there and some exciting times. And the board that he was administered, it has been a number of people who have been very active, you know, like Yehuda Blum and Harry Hurwitz and others like that who serve on the board and have been very active in making sure that the Institute has some interesting programs, you know, throughout the year.
What year was that?
That was established April 30th of 1983. And it was, that was the day of the National Convention here in Pittsburgh. That's not the day of the first inauguration program at the Zioe House. That's when they presented this to me at the election, the annual meeting of the national organization was held here in Pittsburgh. So I think that, and then there was another award called the Jerusalem Award, which was patterned after the Jabotinsky Award, in which after Mr. Begin's passing, Mr. Shamir gave the awards, and it was done in the same, basically the same pattern as the Jabotinsky. So it was a very exciting one. I don't have that hung yet at the present time. And then, you know, I received different awards from the temple and from the Hebrew Union College, which I was a member of the board of Hebrew Union College for a few years. That's a very wonderful experience.
Say something about it.
Well, the Hebrew Union College has a number of campuses. They have the Cincinnati campus, and they have the New York campus, and they have the Jerusalem campus. And Dr. Fred Gottschalk was the president, who we at ZOA gave an award. We established a chair in Hebrew Studies at Kfar Silver, one of the ZOA projects in Israel, in his name. And he subsequently asked me to serve on his board, and I'm sure, like many others, I don't never accept a membership on a board if I couldn't participate and try to make a contribution. And I just knew how intensive the college board was, and I decided that I could not accept. And so a number of years went by. Then I was at a Council of Jewish Federations meeting in Cincinnati, and Dr. Gottschalk had a reception in his home. Simcha Dinitz, who was the ambassador at that time to Israel to the United States, was in attendance. And he called me aside. He said, "What's this I hear that for 8 years you've turned Fred down, coming on his board?" He said, "I think it's time to stop." So I accepted, and I was very glad that I did, because the involvement in the workings of the college and being exposed to the students and to academia, you know, the professors and the very, very bright, intelligent people, and having it tied into your religion, you know, is just a very meaningful experience. I rank it very much at the top of the list of all my involvements.
Let us thank you for your time and your input. It's been most rewarding for us to share your life, really, in this way. Well, and the community will feel the same way also. Our thanks to you.
Well, I thank you for taking the time. It's very tedious. It's, you know, it's very difficult work.
It's been rewarding.
Anyway, I thank you. I would love to be able to pass it on to my children.
Well,
first of all, I'd like to, if you allow me, to thank the National Council of Jewish Women, in particular Pope Bess, Ruth, very much for taking your time to allow me to have an opportunity to participate in an oral historical project that is going to hopefully be very meaningful to our total community. It gave me an opportunity to think and reflect on how fortunate I've been these many years to be able to be part of the community process, review things that have happened within our family, and to be part of a political process. It's very difficult and almost mind-boggling to think that Ivan Novick from 424 Miller Street, Butler, Pennsylvania, had the opportunity in his lifetime to sit with prime ministers and presidents. And I think back of the times that I spent with President Carter, President Reagan, and President Bush, and many of the members of their cabinet, and all of the all these involvements were made possible because of my involvement in Jewish life, and therefore all of these wonderful happenings are part of what the community made possible to happen to me, and I'm very appreciative. So I thank all of you for allowing me to participate in this program, and I wish you the best of luck as you continue in your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you for your beautiful words. Yeah.